Welcome back, listeners. Last time, in the shadowy gatehouse of Cloisterham Cathedral, we witnessed a tense dinner between John Jasper and his nephew, Edwin Drood. Their conversation revealed Jasper's hidden misery and opium addiction, a stark contrast to Edwin's carefree attitude about his prearranged engagement to the beautiful Rosa Budd. Edwin, oblivious to his uncle's inner torment, remains cheerfully resigned to a future he did not choose. Now, we leave the gloomy gatehouse and cross the quiet courtyard to a very different establishment, the Nun's House, the seminary for young ladies where Rosa Budd lives. Let's step inside and see the world from her perspective. Chapter 3, The Nun's House. The old town with its ancient cathedral needs a different name for our story, so let's call it Cloisterham. It's a sleepy, quiet place, full of history and dust, where it feels like all the exciting things happened long, long ago. The children even grow little plants in the dirt made from old monks and nuns. And right in the middle of this sleepy town stands the Nun's House. It's a very old, worn-down brick building, probably from the days when real nuns lived there. Now a bright, shiny brass plate on the gate announces, Seminary for Young Ladies, Miss Twinkleton. The contrast between the old, tired building and the new, flashy sign is almost funny, like an old man wearing a giant modern eyeglass. Nobody knows if the original nuns were happy here, bending under low ceilings or being walled up in corners for being too lively. Miss Twinkleton, the current head of the school, certainly doesn't worry about that ancient history. She has her own strange double life. By day, she is the proper, serious schoolmistress. But every night, after the young ladies are in bed, a change comes over her. Her eyes get brighter, her curls get bouncier, and she becomes a much livelier version of herself, gossiping with her companion, Mrs. Tisher, about scandal and a forgotten romance from her past at a place she mysteriously calls the Wells. The most famous pupil at the Nun's House is Miss Rosa Budd, known to everyone as Rosebud. She is wonderfully pretty, wonderfully childish, and wonderfully whimsical. All the other girls are fascinated by her, because of a romantic and awkward secret. She already has a husband chosen for her. Her guardian is bound by a will to give her to Edwin Drood when he comes of age. Miss Twinkleton tries to act sad about this arranged fate, shaking her head over Rosa's shoulders, but the girls all see through it, whispering that she's just a pretending old thing. The whole school flutters with excitement whenever Rosa's allotted husband, Edwin Drood, comes to visit. It's understood he has a right to call. When his ring at the gate bell is heard, every girl who can find an excuse looks out a window, piano practice goes out of time, and French lessons fall into chaos. On the afternoon after Edwin's dinner with his uncle, the bell rings, and the usual flutter happens. Mr. Edwin Drood to see Miss Rosa, announces the maid. Miss Twinkleton, with a sigh of melancholy, tells Rosa she may go down. Rosa goes, followed by the envious eyes of every other girl. Edwin is waiting in Miss Twinkleton's own parlor, a dainty room that tries to look scholarly with a globe or two. A new maid, who has never seen the famous young gentleman, is so busy staring at him through the door hinge that she stumbles guiltily down the stairs. Meanwhile, a charming little figure, with her face hidden by a silk apron thrown over her head, glides into the room. Oh, it's so ridiculous, the apparition says, stopping and shrinking away. Don't, Eddie! Don't what, Rosa? Don't come any nearer, please. It's so absurd. What is absurd, Rosa? Everything. It's absurd to be an engaged orphan. It's absurd to have all the girls and servants scurrying around after me like mice. It's absurd to be called upon like this. She seems to have her thumb in her mouth as she complains. This is a very affectionate welcome, Pussy, I must say, Edwin replies. Well, I will be in a minute, Eddie, but I can't just yet. How are you? She says, very shortly. I can't say I'm much better for seeing you, Pussy, since I can't see anything of you. This makes her pull the apron away, revealing one dark, bright, pouting eye, which quickly disappears again as she exclaims, Oh, good gracious! You've had half your hair cut off! I should have had my head cut off, I think, says Edwin, rumpling his hair and stamping his foot impatiently. Shall I go? No, you needn't go just yet. The girls would all ask why you left so soon. Once and for all, Rosa, Edwin says, will you uncover that ridiculous little head and give me a proper welcome? She pulls the apron off completely. There. You're very welcome, Eddie. There. I'm sure that's nice. Shake hands. No, I can't kiss you because I have an acid drop in my mouth. Are you at all glad to see me, pussy? Oh, yes, I'm dreadfully glad. Now go and sit down, Miss Twinkleton. It is Miss Twinkleton's custom to appear every few minutes during these visits, pretending to look for something she's lost, just to make sure everything is proper. She glides in now, saying, How do you do, Mr. Drood? So very glad to have the pleasure. Pray excuse me. Tweezers. Thank you. And glides out again. I got the gloves last evening, Eddie, and I like them very much. They are beauties, Rosa says. Well, that's something, Edwin replies, half grumbling. The smallest bit of encouragement is thankfully received. And how did you pass your birthday, pussy? Delightfully. Everybody gave me a present. And we had a feast. And we had a ball at night. A feast and a ball, eh? Says Edwin. These occasions seem to go off just fine without me. Delightfully, Rosa cries, quite spontaneously and without any pretend reserve. What was the feast? Tarts, oranges, jellies, and shrimps. Any partners at the ball? We danced with each other, of course, but some of the girls pretended to be their brothers. It was so droll. Did anybody pretend to be? To be you? Oh dear, yes, cries Rosa, laughing with great enjoyment. That was the first thing done. I hope she did it well, says Edwin, rather doubtfully. Oh, it was excellent. I wouldn't dance with you, you know. Edwin seems not to understand. He asks why. Because I was so tired of you, returns Rosa. But she quickly adds, pleadingly, Dear Eddie, you were just as tired of me, you know. Did I say so, Rosa? Say so. Do you ever say so? No, you only showed it. Oh, she did it so well. Rosa is suddenly ecstatic about the girl who imitated her betrothed. Edwin suggests they go for a walk. Rosa agrees, on one condition. You must pretend that you are engaged to somebody else, and I'll pretend that I am not engaged to anybody, and then we shan't quarrel. They manage to get permission from Miss Twinkleton and leave, with Edwin taking great care to hide his boots from the watching girls, as Rosa has instructed. Rosa wants to go to a sweet shop to buy a Turkish treat called Lumps of Delight. Edwin, who has never heard of it, feels a bit foolish. She buys some and begins to eat them, daintily licking her fingers. Now be a good-tempered Eddie and pretend, she says. So you are engaged? And so I am engaged. Is she nice? Charming. Tall? Immensely tall, says Edwin, knowing Rosa is short. She must be gawky then, Rosa comments quietly. Not at all, Edwin contradicts, rising to the bait. I suppose she has a big nose. Not a little one, certainly, Edwin replies quickly. A long, pale nose with a red knob in the middle. I know the sort, says Rosa, nodding with satisfaction as she enjoys her sweets. You don't know the sort of nose, Rosa, Edwin says with some warmth. Not a pale nose, Eddie. No. A red nose? Oh, I don't like red noses, but I suppose she can always powder it. She would scorn to powder it, Edwin says, becoming heated. Would she? What a stupid thing she must be. Is she stupid in everything? No, in nothing. After a pause, Rosa asks, And this most sensible creature likes the idea of being carried off to Egypt. Does she, Eddie? Yes. She takes a sensible interest in engineering triumphs. Rosa shrugs her shoulders with a little laugh of wonder. The conversation continues in this teasing, argumentative way until they both become upset. Edwin points out they can never get along, and Rosa retorts that she doesn't want to. Finally, Rosa becomes serious. Tears well up in her eyes. I wish we could be friends. It's because we can't be that we try one another so. I am a young little thing, Eddie, to have an old heartache, but I really, really have sometimes. Don't be angry. We should both have done better if what is to be had been left what might have been. Disarmed by this glimpse of real feeling, Edwin leads her to a seat under the elm trees near the cathedral. The solemn sound of the organ and choir swells out from the building. As they sit listening, Edwin thinks he can distinguish his Uncle Jasper's voice in the choir. This suddenly makes Rosa hurry. Take me back at once, please, she urges, laying her hand on his wrist. They will all be coming out directly. Let us get away. Her hurry is over once they are out of the cathedral close. They walk back to the Nunsda house arm in arm. At the gate, on the empty street, Edwin bends down to kiss her. She laughs, becoming a childish schoolgirl again. Eddie, no, I'm too sticky from the sweets to be kissed. But give me your hand and I'll blow a kiss into it. He does so. She breathes a light breath into his palm and asks, holding his hand and looking into it. Now what do you see? See, Rosa? Why, I thought you Egyptian boys could look into a hand and see all sorts of things. What up? Can't you see a happy future? But as the gate opens and closes, one going in and the other going away, it seems clear that neither of them can see a happy present. In this chapter, we are introduced to the nun's house, the girls' school where Rosabud lives, and we get to know her character much better. We see the environment of gentle gossip and heightened emotions within the school, where Rosa's arranged engagement is a source of constant fascination. The core of the chapter is the meeting between Rosa and Edwin, which is fraught with childish awkwardness, playful teasing, and underlying tension. Their conversation reveals that their relationship is more of a habit than a romance. They bicker constantly, and Rosa's playful insults about Edwin's imaginary fiancé hint at her deep unhappiness with the situation. The chapter ends on a melancholy note, with Rosa confessing to a heartache, and both young people feeling the weight of a future they are forced into but don't seem to truly want for themselves. This meeting establishes the central conflict of their engagement, showing it to be shallow and strained, a stark contrast to the deep, dark passions we see brewing in John Jasper.